If you love the Lord, shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we have Pastor Sarah in the house today. And Pastor Sarah, I can't tell you how much I love you. You have been an inspiration to me for so many years. And we have never had the opportunity to really spend a lot of time together. But being from the Rhema family and from the Rhema camp, there were times, I don't even know if you remember this, you spoke into my life. And we were at a crusade, and I'm trying to think, do you need to fix something, babe? You want to say something? We were in a crusade, and I'm trying to think of where we were at. I want to say it was a big church with Brother Hagin, and you and Pastor Clinton came. And one night, Brother Hagin got up and he ministered and he taught on the gifts of the Spirit being in operation in the church. And I was sitting there on the front row with the Rhema singers, and on the inside, I'm sitting there and I knew in my heart, people with lumps, cysts, growths, tumors are gonna disappear tonight. I just knew it. And Brother Hagin, after he got through speaking, he turned to Philip, who was in the Rhema singers. He said, Philip, you take it now. You got it. And Philip came up to the front and he said, Dad, I'll tell you what I've got. I know who has it right now. I know who's got it right now. And Dad said, well, go ahead. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, somebody's going to call out cysts, tumors, growths, and start laying hands on people because people are going to get healed. And then he goes, Leanne. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, no. It was the first time this has happened, that I've been called up, you know, to fill in the Spirit in front of everybody, because it was when I had first gotten in the group. And I stood up and I came up to the front and kind of nervous, and I just said, well, everybody, I said, you know, Brother Hagin has been speaking on the gifts of the Spirit, and right now there's one in operation. I know that if you have a cyst, a tumor, a growth of any kind, you need to stand up right now and get down here in this line, because you're going to be healed, delivered, and set free. And this church was really big, and I mean, the line was gigantic. I didn't know so many could have so many cysts, tumors, and growths. And I mean, it was just not only just in the front of the church, but it wrapped around the whole walls of the church. And I began to sweat a little bit. And there was a lady in the congregation who's a wonderful minister of the gospel. And Brother Hagin used to always call her up to do this. And I felt like, well, it really wasn't my place to do it. She always does it. She should have done it. And I started feeling bad even while I was standing up there. And I knew that the anointing was upon me to lay hands on all these people. And so I went ahead and I listened to, had to do what I was doing, you know. And they started playing some music and stuff. And I stepped down and the anointing was so strong that people just were falling out like everything, people getting up and tumors were disappeared. And I mean, it was wonderful. And I mean, it was a long line. It was probably like around 500 people just in the line alone. And I mean, within moments, we were done. It was like the fastest line ever. And people had been, you know, got healed. And I was so excited, you know. And so I went back into the speaker's room after, or not the speaker's room, they were feeding us. And we went back into a room and we were eating, they were eating. And when I walked in, one of the ministers yelled out at me. He goes, girl, the anointing was on you tonight. And I looked at him and immediately, instead of going, well, praise God, I just looked at him and go, huh? And then I started feeling bad because that lady that Pastor or Brother Hagin always called out to do this was sitting there. And, you know, my head started playing. Well, she didn't even acknowledge me. She didn't say anything to me. And she wasn't having a problem with me, but I was having a problem, okay? I was feeling insecure and stupid. And so I was just like, oh man, maybe I shouldn't have done what I did in the service tonight. You know, just being dumb. You know, I like, again, none of you have ever been dumb before, I'm sure. And I went and sat down and ate and then left and went home, you know, back to the hotel, got ready, or went to bed, got ready. Then the next morning, came into the service, got there early, was doing things. I was going to lead the worship that morning with the group. And when I walked in to go put my Bible down on my seat, well, there sat Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton. I bet you don't even remember this. But there you two sat. And I'll never forget it, because I walked in and immediately Pastor Clinton stood up and he embraced me and he said, he told me, he goes, we're alike. And I go, oh yeah? Because what a compliment, are you kidding me? I was like, oh yeah? He goes, yeah. He goes, we sing the same stuff. And he started talking to me about music and I just got so engrossed, you know, because Pentecostal backgrounds, and we're talking and talking. And then Pastor Sarah stood up and she gave me a hug, and she told me, she said, you did good last night obeying God. And I just looked at her with a weird looking face and I go, she goes, what are you doing that for? And I go, well, you know, there were some other ministers here, and I thought they probably should have done that. And I started feeling bad. And she looked at me, and she got all up in my face. She corrected me. And she said to me, she said, anybody would have to be blind to think that you weren't anointed to do what you did last night. So you forget it now. And I looked at her, and I wanted to say, yes, mama. And when she did that, it made me jump back, if that makes sense, to know, Leanne, stay in who you are in Christ.
That's right.
And you'll never know how much that impacted me to be who you are in God. And don't let anybody intimidate you or make you feel like you can't obey God and be what God's called you to be. I mean, I'll never forget that, Pastor Sarah, how you spoke into me and it helped me. And it's helped me for years. And it will continue to, because I'm one bold mama, you'll find out. I like to speak the truth and I will not back down from what the word says. Amen? How many of you love the Lord? Amen? So I just wanted to honor you and share that and say how much, what an honor it is to be here with you and to be with Pastor Ed and Pastor Greg. It's just an honor that you would have us come and honor us and having us. And we love you very, very much. So praise the Lord. My honey's going to say something.
I hate to digress into spiritual things, but back to the infomercial. Oh. Basically, we didn't mention prices. Individually, they're $139 as a whole package for $99.
There you go. Glory to God. So you get a $40 whatever savings. All right. Well, glory to God. Years ago, I used to hate to even talk about product. And the reason why was because I felt like I was trying to promote myself. And some of the kids that helps us was wanting to edit some of our material, and they wanted me to listen to something of me. And I don't know about you, if I'm singing, I don't mind hearing it. But if I'm preaching, I don't like hearing it because I hear all the heavy breathing and all the and everything. And it's just like, oh, I don't want to hear that, you know. But they told me, you need to listen to this and see if you want to take it on the road with you. And so I was like, okay. So I was doing some things around the house. I put a CD in. And as I was listening to this CD, at first I was just grossing out because, you know, it was me, you know. And I was just like, oh, man, I wish I could say it different. I wish I didn't sound like a country bumpkin sometimes, you know, and stuff. But it was like, ah. But then I got so wrapped up in what I was doing in the house, I forgot that I was listening to me. And as I was listening, all of a sudden I walked through into the living room and I stopped and I began to weep and I lifted my hands because God began to minister to me. And then I, all of a sudden, as he's speaking to my heart and everything, I go, oh my. I said, Lord, I just preached to myself and it helped me. And he said, and therefore, that's why you take it on the road. That's why you talk about it, because it's the anointed word that sets people free and helps us to grow spiritually. So how many of you have ever preached to yourself and ministered to you? I hope you do. We need to speak the word daily, amen? Well, turn in your Bibles. Let's hook up where we were last night. I'm not a long-winded preacher. 2 o'clock will be just fine today. You laugh? I'm a-joking. To me right now, it's 9:40, so... I have an extra hour to go. All right, John chapter 14. Now, guys, remember last night we were talking about how that in every type of prayer that you pray, you need to always pray from the position that you know him. John chapter 14, verse 17. We're going to read this here in just a moment. We also said that in every type of prayer that you pray from the position that you know him and always pray according to the word. 1 John chapter 5. This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, according to his word, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, the next verse in 1 John 5, I think it's like 14 through 16, says, if we know that he hears us, then he gives us the petitions that we desire of him. So if we pray according to the word, he's listening, and then we know we get what he's asking for. So why are we praying prayers that are not according to what the word says? We need to make sure that what comes out of our mouth lines up with what the word says. Amen, guys? So then, in every type of prayer that you pray from the position you know him. You pray according to the word. You always pray in faith. Always. And you always pray with a heart of thanksgiving. In Philippians, it talks about with every prayer, let it be with a heart of thanksgiving. Every prayer that we pray. Now, we talked about last night about how Brother Hagin used to teach, you know, how that big prayer study guidebook that some of you have. And he teaches on the different types of prayer. There's like 9 different types of prayer in that book. And that book needs to be studied. I teach out of it all the time there on campus in Principles of Prayer to the students. And it's an important book to study. And I believe that in every one of these types of prayer, where it be the prayer of agreement, praying in the name of Jesus, the prayer of intercession, supplication, no matter what the prayer might be, you need to always pray from the place of faith that you know him. John 14, 17. You always pray according to the word, and you always pray in faith, and you always pray with a heart of thanksgiving. These things need to be in your every prayer life. In every prayer that you pray, you need to make sure that you're always praying from a position of faith that you know him. Now, last night, we camped out on John chapter 14, verse 17, about the Spirit of Truth. And so let's put this up. Let's read it. John 14, 17, the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of truth, the world doesn't see or know, but you know him, for he's going to live and dwell on the inside of you. Now, how many of you were not here last night? That's why I'm giving more of a review here, because I want to tag on to what we did, all right? So you guys that were with me last night, just act like you never heard it before. Can you do that? And so I shared a story about how that I got revelation by the Spirit of God on John chapter 14, verse 17. I was sitting there in prayer school, there on campus, and I was a volunteer at this time. This has been many, many years ago. I had graduated in 84, was out and was a youth pastor for about 6 years, then God told me to come back. And when I came back, I got hooked up at the Prayer and Healing Center, and I began to be the worship leader and of the Prayer and Healing Center for prayer school and healing school. And I was standing, I did the worship this one particular morning. I went and sat down where I always do. And as I was sitting there, the minister that day got onto John chapter 14. He seemed like he read the whole chapter. When he got to verse 17, I didn't agree with it. Isn't the Spirit of Truth? The world doesn't see or know, but you know him. Guess what? It's in red and white. So who's that? So who's speaking to us? Jesus. Jesus is talking there, and he said, you're going to know him. Meaning you're going to know the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and he's going to live and he's going to dwell on the inside of you. When you know somebody, you know them, right? You know their voice. You know their mannerisms. You know them. And here I'm reading this verse sitting in prayer school years ago, and I'm like, I don't feel like I know you. If I know you so well, why don't I see the glory cloud when it comes in the room? Why don't I sense the healing anointing? Why do I always have to wait till a pastor or a minister or somebody says, well, the healing anointing's here. Why can't I know it first? If I know you, I mean, come on. Why have I made mistakes? If I, you know, the mistakes that I've made, I wouldn't have made had I heard you better. I don't feel like I know you. I still don't feel like I know you like I should. Now, I'm a Rhema grad, had already been out in the ministry for 8 years, and here I am sitting there saying all this to him. And as I was sitting there, the minister just kept on reading and speaking. But as I was sitting there on the inside, I just was telling the Lord, I don't know you. I don't know you. I don't care. I just don't know you. I don't. And on the inside, I heard him speak, and he said, you're calling me a liar. Well, I said, but God, if I know you so well, why don't I see the glory cloud when it comes in the room? Because see, back at healing school when Brother Hagin was doing it all the time, I can't tell you how many times he would be speaking and he'd say, the glory cloud is coming in. You know, it talks about it over in Exodus, about the glory of God and how that, you know, it looks like a cloud and like a smoke, a mist that will fill the place. Since then, I've grown in the Lord and I've seen the glory cloud many a time. But at this particular time, I had never seen it before. And I was telling the Lord, back when I was a student, I told, you know, it was 1984. And then I with Brother Hagin, man, healing school. I can't tell you how many times the glory of God would come in on seminars and healing school and stuff. And I'd never see it. And it would make me mad. I remember this one particular healing school service. I'm sitting right behind Mom Hagen. And here he says, Brother Hagen says, well, the glory's here. He goes, it's so thick in here, I can't see the sound guys. I can't see you anymore back there. He said, it's getting so thick now, I can't see half of you sitting out there. Well, I about broke my neck trying to turn around to see the glory cloud. I didn't see nothing. I saw nothing but people looking at Brother Hagen. And I was just like, and I begin to get aggravated. I want to see the glory. I want to see the glory. Then Brother Hagen say, wow. He goes, now I can't see any of you out there. Are you guys still out there? He'd make a joke and he'd laugh and everybody'd laugh. And I'd be like, I want to see the glory. And then Brother Hagen put his hand in front of his face. I can't even see my hand in front of my face. And I sat over there and I thought, dear God, I can see his hand, his head, his face, and everything. I just want to see the glory. And then he'd say, reach up and receive whatever you need. And there were people healed, delivered, and all kinds of things took place in the service, and it was wonderful and everything. But I was just, now this is 8 years later, and I still haven't seen the glory. And here I'm reading a verse in John 14:17 that says, I know him, and I don't feel like I know him. Yes, I served you. I've been saved since I was six, filled with the Holy Ghost since I was six. But man, I don't feel like I know you. If I know you so well, why don't I see the glory cloud? Why do I have to wait for a pastor or a minister to say something's going on in the meeting? Why can't I know ahead of time? You know, if I know you so well, I don't feel like I know you. And then second time he spoke to my heart, sitting there, right? I was sitting there right in the front row. And I heard him say, you're calling me a liar. He said it very loud and very authoritative. And you would have thought it would have shaken me. And it did for just a few seconds. But everybody's got different personalities. Some would have said, yes, sir. And just been so, you know, I had to inquire more because I don't feel like I know you. And I went right back into it. As I went back into it, all of a sudden I got quiet again. And he said to me, he goes, Leanne, how did you get saved? I thought he was making fun of me. And then it dawned on me. The light bulb came on. How did I get saved? Well, I heard the word and I confessed the word. And then salvation became mine. I became a new creature in Christ Jesus at the age of six. I remember that pastor who was my uncle preaching and him preaching the gospel plan and salvation. I remember sitting, listen to him. I had taken my coloring book to church because our Pentecostal services could go very long. And you know, as a little kid, you get kind of antsy. And so mom would let me bring one thing with me. And I remember sitting there and the coloring book just sat in my lap and I just listened to everything he said as a six-year-old. And then he said, if you need Jesus, come down to this altar now. I remember I was sitting by my grandmother. I stood up and I couldn't hardly get by her. She goes, honey, what are you doing? I go, and tears streaming down my face. I gotta go, Grandma. Let me by. I gotta go to the altar. I remember just like it was yesterday, and God knows it's been quite a few years ago. But it was real to me. And I went down to that altar, and my pastor came and stood over me. He was standing on top of the platform, and I was down at the altar, and he prayed the sinner's prayer with me. And as a little kid, I got saved, and a few others got saved. And then he said, now if you want to be filled with the Spirit. Well, I knew what that meant because my mama prayed in tongues all the time at home. And so I was like, well, yeah, I want what mama got. And so I just stayed down there on my knees. And see, but we were raised Pentecost, and in our Pentecostal church, you were taught you had to tarry and wait for the Holy Ghost to come, and he might not come. And so people would leave not filled. I'm so glad that I was so young, I didn't know that doctrine or understand that, you know? But that's what they preached, but I never hooked into it. I'm a kid, I'm six. But I just remember hearing mama. So there was a few people that came down. And they started praying, and you know, they would gather around that person that was there praying, a bunch of the deacons and the different ones, the board members, different ones in the church, you know. And I mean, they start praying and they just spit all over you, you know. I mean, woo! They're gonna shake you, they're gonna smack you, they're gonna do everything they can to get you filled, you know. And thank God we got more light, amen, that we're walking more in the truth. It doesn't have to be like that at all. But I'll never forget it. They came down to me because some of them weren't getting it. They were tarrying and waiting. And I was ready. And my uncle, he said, okay, Leanne, lift your hands up. And I did. And he said, now just say these words after me. I said them. And he said, so now let's just begin to pray. And all these deacons got around me and they said, oh God. And before they could really get into what they were going to do, I was going, you know, and I just begin to pray. Tongues, and they all just started dancing. But I got filled at that age. Even though I got saved and filled with the Spirit, though, like that, I didn't have my doctrine straight in who the Spirit of God is and who He is in me. And so I didn't understand John chapter 14, verse 17, when Jesus said, the Spirit of truth, the world doesn't see or know, but you know Him, for He's going to live and dwell on the inside of you. So now it's years later. I'm sitting in prayer school. I'm having this conversation with God. And He's telling me, how did you get saved? Well, I went back to my six-year-old life when I got saved in the Pentecostal church. And I knew what my pastor was preaching. He was preaching the word, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You know the verse, right? Long story short, what did I do? Got saved. Now, years later, God's saying, how'd you get saved, Leanne? I thought, I confessed the word. I spoke it. And you came into my life. Here I am, a smart Rhema graduate, so I thought. Over our church revolves a faith shield. And I thought, I can't believe I'm just now getting the revelation that I've got to confess the word over the relationship that I have with Him. See, I had learned to use my faith in finances, learned to use my faith in healing, but I hadn't learned to use my faith in what God said about me and Him in our relationship. I just sometimes would still feel unworthy at times, even though that was unscriptural. Sometimes I just feel like, well, I can't hear Him. I just don't know. I just don't know. And the whole time, Jesus said to everyone, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit is who He's talking about. The Spirit of truth, the world doesn't see or know, but you know Him. And He's going to live and dwell on the inside of you. As we spoke last night, what happened? Jesus came and He paid the price for everything. But before He left, He began to prophesy about somebody that was coming. And He is the Holy Ghost. He said, it's expedient for you that I go so that the Holy Ghost can come. Because He's going to live and dwell on the inside of you. Last night, His presence was in this place. Revelation of this, because see, doesn't matter how old you are in God, when you've got revelation of something and you hear truth about it, it makes you go, whoo, glory. Am I right? We all in this room, you're in a good word faith church. Are you kidding me? You know these truths, but we need to stir these truths up. The scripture says, Jesus said it, you know Him. Well, I didn't feel like I knew Him, and so I was telling the Lord that. But then He told me, confess the word, in other words, is what He said. Speak what the word says. Don't speak how you feel. I don't care how you think. I don't care how you feel. You speak what the word says. So that afternoon when I got home from healing school, prayer school and healing school, I walked into my bedroom, and I shut the door behind me, put my Bible down on the dresser, and I stood there. I said, Holy Ghost, guess what I found out today? I found out that I know You. I would love to say the blind shook or something supernatural took place, but nothing did. But I didn't change my confession. I know You because I know You. Oh, I hear You. I see You. I follow You. You're more real to me than anybody in life. Do you know the Holy Ghost is more real to me than my husband sitting over here on this pew? Why? Because He, the Holy Spirit, dwells within me. He lives in me, but I've got to walk in the revelation of him being there, or I will not walk close to him. He's waiting. You know how many people are not hooking up with the greater one on the inside of them that's born again? Whew. Sometimes I'll be like, bless your heart, God, I'm sorry. Lord, I apologize for how that we don't practice the word. We get fat spiritually by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, but how important it is for us to live this way. It's not just for a pastoral staff or just for ministry gifts that come in. It's not for just those that are on TV that are preaching the word that live this way, but it's for every single one of us to live this walk of faith that we know the Spirit of God. So remember, I told you, I started confessing it and speaking it. 2 weeks, that's all I'd do. Not in front of other people. It was just me and God. And I would just say it. I would be in my car. Father, I thank you that your Spirit's more real to me than the car that I drive. I just got a little crazy with it. You're so real to me. You're more real than the car that I drive. You're more real than my family and friends. You're more real to me than anybody else in life. Holy Spirit, you live in me. I know you. I hear your voice. I follow you. You're real to me. The Spirit of truth, the world doesn't see or know, but I am not of this world. I am a citizen of heaven, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I know you, you live in me. And I kept, see, to me, that's meditation of the word. And so I'm meditating on that for 2 weeks. And during those 2 weeks, I'm doing prayer school every day. I'll never forget it. 2 weeks goes by. I did the worship. We worshiped the Lord. And then after that, I sat down on the front row. Jim began to do prayer school and began to teach. And as he's teaching, I'm sitting where Pastor Ed is right now. And as he's preaching, he's here. There's a door back over in the corner like this. And I saw smoke coming through the corners of the door, sitting right there on campus at Rhema. And immediately I thought, what's on fire in the hallway? Immediately, I think we need to evacuate the building. All these thoughts go through my mind, and I'm thinking, why isn't Jim looking at me? Or no, not Jim, why isn't the usher over there looking at me? Because I was Jim's assistant, and when the rule was with the ushers is if you don't know what to do and Jim is speaking, look to Leanne, and she'll have the answer. Isn't that funny? So I sat there and I'm looking at the usher that's sitting on the end of the pew right where the smoke is coming in. And I'm like, why isn't he looking at me and asking me what to do? And then I'm thinking, do I need to interrupt Jim speaking? Do I need to run out in the hallway and see what's going on? Ah! And then all of a sudden it's got so thick that it started covering the section over here. And that usher's looking straight through it, still looking at Jim, not even moved. I thought, I finally got spiritual. It wasn't smoke. It wasn't a fire in the hallway. It was the glory of God. And it was filling the room. I sat there and just stared at it coming in. And it covered this whole section. Then it began to cover this section. As it began to cover this section, it covered the podium where Jim was standing. And all of a sudden, he as the minister, I'm still sitting right here watching everything. He said, well, the glory of God just came in the room. Those that heard me last night heard my little attitude. When he said that, on the inside, I went, ha, I saw it before you did. Because I was so excited, I saw the glory. That glory just filled the entire room, and we just basked in his presence. People were healed. A lot of things happened. Guys, right now the glory's in the room. You can't start talking about it and him not fill the place. Are you with me? I share that story because John chapter 14, verse 17, I believe as prayers, we must pray from a place of faith that we know the Spirit of God. We can't play around. We don't have time to play church anymore. Let's have it. Let's have church. Let's have a church that understands who they are in Christ and will operate in faith knowing I know the Spirit of God. You know, over in 1 John, turn there with me real quick. 1 John chapter 2, you know the verse, but let's just look at it. 1 John chapter 2, Glory to God. You guys okay? Woo. I get so passionate about these things. You know, being in the ministry now for 30 years, which is hard to believe since I'm only 32, but I've been preaching these truths for quite a while. And these truths that I'm preaching are things that I practice and I live by. And I preach it on that campus at Rhema to all the students, to all of prayer school, all the time. That we must walk by faith and live in faith concerning what Jesus said about our relationship with him. The Spirit of truth, the world doesn't see or know, but you know him. Last night, I read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and where I told you that in my Pentecostal church, my pastor, my uncle, would preach all the time, "I hath not seen, ear hath not heard," remember? And how he would preach, "But oh, when we get to heaven, we're going to have all understanding. Oh, what a day of rejoicing that will be." And we would sing, "I'll fly away, and when the saints go marching in, and oh, what a beautiful day, you know, when the Lord shall come again." And we'd sing all these songs, which I grew up on and I love, but it made me think that while I was in the earth, I was dumb. I hath not seen, ear hath not heard, but oh, when I get to heaven. And I told you that when I went to Rhema when I was 18, I realized that was verse 9, but I finally found out there was a verse 10. And verse 10 says, "But God," which means it changed everything that the verse ahead of it said. Remember from last night? That "I hath not seen, ear hath not heard." It changed it and it said, "But God has revealed them unto" who? Us. Who's us? Me. So God has revealed things. Oh my. And there's a great move of my spirit that must be. But it will take place in the church that knows their position and knows their rights. And it shall come forth and it shall happen and there will be no fright. But know that this hour that is upon us this day is an hour, oh, that's by my spirit. Oh, and victory is ours in Jesus' name. Guys, listen to what he's saying. See, you can't start talking about these spiritual truths and not begin to operate in it. Look at the verse of 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. Listen, look at it, see what it says. "I have an unction. You have an unction." What's an unction? An anointing. "You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." Did you just hear that? You know, I didn't make that up. It's right there in the book. It says, "You have an unction." You have it. Oh, for the kingdom of God. His plan and his purposes in the earth. There's destiny. I believed it was destined for you to be in this service today. And that there is destiny upon your life to walk in a supernatural way. To go beyond where you are today and continue on, as the Bible says, glory to glory to glory and growing in him. You know, Brother Hagin said, I'll never forget him saying this when I was a student. And he said it the whole time that I was with him. And he said, "The more I get to know God, the more I realize I don't know." And I thought, my Lord, he's 60. It was in his 60s the first time I heard him say that. And I thought, dear Lord, if he don't think he know, I don't know nothing. But I fully understand it now. Because the more I get to know him, the more I realize there's so much about him I've not even tapped into. You don't get bored with him. You know, some people say, "Oh, you might have a dull prayer time." You know, I made a decision a long time ago. No dull prayer times here. Why am I having a dull prayer time? Is it because God's dull? Absolutely not. Who's dull? It could be your head because you aren't walking in revelation. You still love me? Because see, revelation of who you are and revelation that you know him. If I know him and I'm walking according to the word, then I'm in faith. It says, "I have an unction, an anointing from the Holy Ghost, from the Holy One, and I know all things. Well, how in the world can I know everything? Because I have deity on the inside of me. And the Holy Spirit on the inside of me knows everything. He's the great revealer. He's the revealer of truth. Where is he? He's in me. He's in me. He's in me. Say, he's in me. Guys, the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us and he's in you. He's in me. And when I need to know something, he tells me. And when I expect to hear from him, I hear him. But I get caught up in things like the other day. I was in my office. I had 30 minutes to eat a salad real quick and get over and teach prayer school. And I had, my secretary was in there and one of my assistants was in there and we're eating a salad real quick. All of a sudden, I get a phone call on my cell and it's my sister. It's an unusual time for her to call. And so I'm thinking, what's up? I answer the phone. I go, Marta, what's going on? She goes, Leanne, start praying now. I said, what's going on? She said, Mom, she's at home. She's fallen. Lori, my other sister, said she thinks she's having a stroke. And start praying. She's not at herself. She's not even talking normal. Can't understand anything she's saying. So I get off the phone and I said to the girls that were in my office, I said, let's pray. We started praying. Well, what do you think at first? My head's starting to be real fuzzy because I'm freaking out. Because see, my dad went to heaven in August and it was fine. He was ready. He wanted to go and it was good and it was glorious, but I still didn't like it. And I was just like, no, Mama, you ain't going nowhere. And you're not going to have this either. And so, man, I rebuke death. I rebuke death. This just happened last Tuesday. I rebuke death. And I said, you get out of her life. You get out of her body. You get out of her house right now. In the name of Jesus, I speak the life of God to my mom. She'll live and not die, and she'll walk in divine health all the days of her life. And I started praying in the spirit. As I'm praying in the spirit, my head starts thinking and starts getting nervous about stuff, wanting to be in fear. And I immediately knew, because see, I've been in this a long time. Don't listen to your soul. Go down here. And I started listening right here. And I heard the Spirit of God speak so sweetly because I know him. And he said, she's all right. Her blood sugar has dropped real low. That's all it is. She'll be fine. She'll be fine. So don't worry about her. And so I was just like, hallelujah. I told the girls and I went back to eating my salad. Got a phone call about 5 minutes to one. My sister called me back and she said, Leanne, she said, Mom's blood sugar dropped to 20. Normal is 80 to 120. It dropped to 20 and the paramedics said that if one of my sisters hadn't been there, she would have went to heaven. She said, but she's sitting here now. She's talking normal. They've given her some IVs and she's got put some sugar into her and she's doing good now. I got off that phone and I was rejoicing and stuff. And then, of course, I called my mama and talked to her after prayer school. Mama, so I check my blood sugar and blah, blah, blah. You know, sometimes she'll take insulin. Sometimes it'd be way too much. And it'd be like, Mother, what are you doing? You know, you can't play around with that stuff. So, but guys, I shared that story for one specific reason. Because I've been fellowshipping with the Lord all these years, I was able to get from here to right here. Where the Spirit of God lives. Where he, out of my belly, remember that scripture, John? Out of my belly flows rivers of living water. Spirit of God lives down here. Let's quote some scriptures about our spirit here for a minute. You can write them down. You don't have to turn so I can just go fast. In Proverbs 20, verse 27, it says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of what? The belly. Brother Hagin, as he would teach this, he would say, the core of your being is where your spirit is, right in your belly. And the Bible says that God looks upon your spirit to see what's going on in you. God is what? In John 4, 24, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. God as a spirit doesn't communicate with our head, with our mind, or our body. He as a spirit will communicate to your spirit. That's why it's so important that we as believers know who we are. You are spiritual beings. You are a spirit made in the image and in the likeness of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 20, 25, 26, 27 talks about how that he made us in his image and in his likeness. We have a spirit. We've been made like him. In Job 32, 8, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives your spirit understanding. The Bible says there's a spirit in man called your human spirit, and the inspiration of the Almighty causes your spirit to have understanding. And when your spirit has understanding, that revelation will come up out of your belly and revelation will come to your soul. Okay, we're going to keep talking. Look at this, James 2:26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You take your spirit out of your body, you dead. When your spirit leaves, when my daddy went to heaven, I'll never forget it. We were gathered all around him. We knew he was getting ready to step over. I had just walked away from the bed, not too spiritual, I was. Just walked away from the bed, and I heard my brother or one of them shout and say, Dad just left. He went to heaven. My brother said, he showed us how it happened. Dad was laying there in the bed and he had a hold of my brother's hand. And he squeezed my brother's hand real tight. And my brother said, Dad opened his eyes and he looked up and he smiled and went, and went up. And Josh said, I saw him come out of his body. He said, I saw his spirit. He was so beautiful. He said, I saw him just come right up out of his mouth in his spirit. And he went right up through the ceiling. But his old body just laid there. But his spirit is with God. And he's alive. He's not dead. He's alive. We as believers need to live eternally minded. Eternal minded. The realm of the spirit is a real place. Your loved ones that have went on, glory to God, they're not dead, they're alive, and you're going to see them. You're going to be with them and live with them throughout eternity. This is just a season that we're here without them. And I've said this so often. My dad, man, to him, it's probably only been 5 minutes, if that, since he left. And for us, it's 7 months. Because God's time is not our time. He's not sorry. He's not sorrowful. And he wouldn't want to come back. But his spirit went up to God who gave it. Just like James here talked about it with Stephen. Guys, in 1 Corinthians, it says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with God. In Acts 7:59, it says, they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus. He didn't say, receive my body. He didn't say, receive my mind and my intellect and my emotions and my will. He said, receive my spirit. And the Bible says, that his spirit went right up to God. Guys, it's your spirit that's on the inside of you. As Brother Hagin would say, the real you that's on the inside of you that you've got to operate with and function with and listen to. Because if your mind is caught up in just watching the news and the political realm and everything, that's how you're going to operate and live. If all you do is sit and watch TV about people dying with sickness and disease and all these shows about hospitals and all that stuff and nobody ever getting cured of nothing, that's what you're putting in. Oh, but I have my devotion and I read in the morning. Yeah, but are you raising people from the dead? Are you dealing with sickness in your body? And you're watching, what are you feasting on? I have to watch myself because I'm in the ministry. So I'm ministering to people all week long. I'm talking, I'm praying, I'm preaching, I'm prophesying, I'm talking, I'm praying, I'm preaching, I'm counseling, I'm... Are you with me? And then when I get home, I sit down in my comfy chair. I push a button and I go back, my feet go up, and my big old TV is right there. I have to be careful what I put through my eye gate. I've got to be careful what I put through my ear gate. Because what you dwell on, even though you're zoning, you're taking it in. And so what you're feasting on, see, the enemy is a sly guy. He gets in, he's deceptive. He's the great deceiver. And he'll get in and we won't even realize he's got in. And before you know, we're accepting stuff. There was a day that when something would come on TV years ago, that whole show would be banned from TV. Now it's all back on and everybody condones it. And if you say anything against it, are you with me? But then we have us that sometimes go, oh, well, I'll just fast forward through that part in the show. I'm guilty. Because I liked the plot in a particular show or something. But then they would have some garbage in it and I would fast forward. But then sometimes I get up and go do something and all that garbage is being spoken out through my house. And it's just like, Leanne, what are you doing? See, maybe I'm a little too strict. But I like to watch what's spoken in our home, what words are being said, what music is being played, what shows are being shown. And I want to guard stuff because I'm not of this world. My citizenship is in heaven. And my reality is not reality shows on TV. My reality is the Word of God and what the Word says. Our reality needs to be what the Word says. And God wants to manifest himself in us and through us. And he does it by his Spirit that lives in us. But it's up to us to recognize we have him, and that we have, 1 John 2:20, an unction, an anointing from him. You know him. Say, I know him. He lives in us, guys. I don't know about you, but that makes me very happy. You know, last night I told you that when I talked to Brother Hagin about this one time, and he looked at me, and I thought he was going to just preach to me about it, and he just looked at me because I asked him, I said, do you think it's right? John 14:17, and how I'm seeing it and how I'm preaching it. And he looked at me, and he goes, well, yeah. Or just kind of shook his head, and uh-huh, yeah. I was in his office, and I was waiting for some great revelation. But I got a stamp on it, and I was like, okay. And then we started talking about something else. And then I told you last night, about how that I talked to Philip, who's in the Raymond Singers and Band, when I was in the group, and I told him, I said, Philip, if you don't ever know what to do, just look at me, I'll have it. He goes, girl, you're crazy. I go, no, you know, I know, I have revelation, and you have it. We know the Holy Ghost. And because I know him, I'll have it. I'll step out by faith, and God will fill my mouth. And you know, I told you last night, there were times I wished I'd never told Philip that I had it. Because he called on me all the time when I was in the group. I remember we were in Hampton, Virginia, in a crusade with Brother Hagin. It was a Thursday night of the meeting. And usually the Thursday nights seemed like they would always be the wild nights, anything. You never knew what was going to happen. On this particular service, we were setting up on the platform behind Brother Hagin, who was sitting in this big wingback chair. It was a very big chair. And I was sitting right behind it. He looked like a wee little old man sitting in that chair. I mean, it was just a big chair. And I was sitting behind him, kind of shrunk down into my seat. Because it was 9:30 and different ones had gotten up and shared and it was good. But now Philip had the microphone down there and he's talking. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, Philip, do the altar call and get us out of here. Because I was tired. I'm sure you guys would never do something like that, would you? But I'm sitting up there behind Brother Hagin and I'm just like going, Father, tell him to do the altar call. And he just keeps talking. Keeps talking. And as I'm sitting there, I'm complaining, and I'm telling the Lord, please tell him, altar call, altar call. I'm tired, I'm sleepy. All I could see was the pillow in the hotel room. And I knew that after the service, I had to do a lot of things before I could even get to my hotel room. And so I'm thinking, 9:30, come on, tick-tock, tick-tock, praise the Lord, get him saved, let's go. And I'm sitting there and I'm shrunk down in the seat behind Brother Hagin. And I look over at my friend, Marty Blackwelder, who used to play the piano in the Rhema Singers. I look over at Marty, and Marty is kind of shrunk down behind some stuff, and he's got his elbows on his knees, and he's looking at me. And when he looked at me, he looked at me, I looked at him, he was like, oh. And I looked at him, and I go, I know. And I said to him, I know. But I whispered it, of course. If Brother Hagin only knew what his group was doing behind him. And about that time, as I'm looking at him going, ugh, I heard my name. Leanne? I didn't move. Maybe I didn't hear my name. And then all of a sudden I heard, Leanne, I know you're up there. Okay, so I stand up. And I smile, and Philip is looking at me. He's down on the floor with a microphone, and he'd been talking to other people. And I look at him, he goes, come down here. I look, and Brother Hagin's head is just right there, and I'm thinking, oh my God. Thank God it was a long platform. I'm thinking, I'm gonna do the altar call. I'm gonna tie this puppy up. That's what I'm gonna do. Isn't that ugly? And I walked around. I got around where Brother Hagin was, and Brother Hagin was sitting there, and he was praying in tongues, but he was speaking in a different way. And immediately, I slowed down and looked at him, because Philip turned around and was talking to the people again, waiting for me to get there. And I looked at him, and Dad was going, oh, brazo corte bregedi. I mean, I was like, oh, God, there's something you're wanting to do. And I've been thinking about sleeping and getting people saved so I could go sleep. And I'm thinking, Brother Hagin's got it. It's his meeting. And then all of a sudden it was like, but I'm the one that's been asked. And so on the walk to the podium to meet where Philip was, I got saved, baptized, filled with the Spirit all over again, if you know what I mean. I repented. I asked God to forgive me for my attitudes. And immediately out of my heart, I keep smiling because people are starting to look at me. But on the inside, I'm going, Holy Ghost, I know you because I know you, I've got it. I know I've been bad in this service the last part, but I thank you, I've got it. I've got it. God, whatever you want, I've got it. I've got it. And I'm stirring myself up, guys, because my flesh and my head's freaking out. I'm getting ready to have hundreds of eyes looking at me, and Phillips called upon me. Kenneth Copeland is there. Billy Brim is there. And I'm like... And so I come down and I stand right here beside the podium and Philip is here. He's still talking. And then he turns to me. He goes, Leanne, tell us where the church world is today. I looked at him, of course, and just smiled. And I thought, I'm going to gut you later. And then... another thought that went through my mind, I could tell you where I want to be. And I'm in the church, sleeping in my hotel room. But I'm thinking, oh, well, that was a little pressure. And I'm thinking, Billy Brim's sitting right there. She knows everything about the church and Israel. Let her do this. He steps away, and I get the microphone. And I'm standing there. Everybody, let's just lift our hands up and worship God. I had to get him vertical. Quit looking at me. That is the trick of ministers. If you get lost in your notes, you don't know what to do. Oh, everybody, let's just worship God. Not all the time do we do that, but a big portion of the time. If you get, you know, you're trying to hear what God's wanting you to do or whatever. Oh, let's just worship him. Takes the pressure off of you. They get looking up vertical. And then you're able to hear better. And so I said, let's just worship God. Hallelujah. Let's stand. And we all stood. And I just begin to just worship. Father, I worship you. Now, remember, seconds ago, all I'm wanting it to do is to tell Philip to pray over those that want to get saved. And let's get out of here. Where's my pillow? And now the pressure's on. I repented, got saved all over again, said, Holy Ghost, I know you because I know you. I've got it. And I got to that podium, and then he asked me a ridiculous question to answer if you are going to answer it from your head. And so, hallelujah! And I got them just worshiping God. And we started worshiping the Lord. Father, we worship you. Oh, we worship you. And I just begin to sing and worship. And then I begin to sing in the spirit. Vole mangro storia mangre silia mambolia de provo sho storia nangre stire vole manglo nandelia brabassura rossere. And as I kept doing that, all of a sudden, some words came to my heart in English. And I began to sing them out. I began to sing about the coming of the king. I began to sing about where the church world was in the hour that we were in. And I just kept singing. And I wanted to sit down and take notes because I'd never heard it before. But I just kept singing and worshiping God and speaking it out of my heart, prophesying. And I turned around and I looked at Brother Hagin sitting in the big chair. And he looked at me and he was pointing at me like that the whole time. And I'm thinking, what does that mean? But I kept singing, oh, hallelujah, oh, Jesus. And I turned to Richie, the head of the group. I go, what's Dad mean by that? Oh, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah. And he turned and looked at him. He goes, I have no idea. Oh, glory to God, hallelujah. And then I just kept singing and more words came and I began to sing it even more. And I turned to look at him to see if he was going to take it. And he's still pointing at me. And I was like, why? Oh, hallelujah. And then the words just kept coming out of me. Because I was operating in faith, Holy Ghost, I know you, John 14:17, because I know you, I've got it. You live in me, you dwell in me. I'm not going to lean upon my own ability or thinking. I have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, and I know all things. Do I know everything in my head? No, but the Spirit of God who lives on the inside of me does. And when I tap into him by faith, whoo, he'll speak. Right after I had finished and I knew my part was done at that time, Floyd White, who used to be in the group, was there in the service and he got up. And he began to sing a song in the spirit. And then Philip and I, whew, such an unction on it, stood beside him. And in three-part harmony, we sang a song in tongues that sounded like we had rehearsed it. And then Floyd began to interpret what we were singing, Days of Heaven on the Earth. And then we began to sing it. The next week or so went by and Brother Hagin did a radio show. I think it was at Keith Butler's church or something. And Richie made sure the guy over the group, he always would travel with Dad. And he told me, he came back on campus and he told me, he said, you know what Dad said about the Thursday night service? I said, what'd he say? He said, we went places that night in that meeting we hadn't been in years. And when Richie told me that, it was just like, oh, had I not known, not that I did it all, but my part helped. Had I not operated out of John 14:17 that I know the spirit of truth, I wouldn't have done that. Remember last night when I told you Miss Lynette turned to me at the end of the service and it was the last night of Kindle the Flame and here she is up there tying up the whole meeting and it's about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. I wasn't in charge of singing that particular night. Patrick was and I couldn't hear her. They didn't turn her on in the monitors and I couldn't hear her. But I could tell she was encouraging the ladies. The other guys that were up there with me, they had their inner ears on so they could hear everything she was saying. The sound guy back there forgot to turn the wedge on for me. And I thought, well, I'm not leading anyway. Patrick's leading, so it's okay. So I just stood there and I'm thinking, man, I can't wait to get home. I'm so tired, Lord. I can't wait to get out of these shoes. I can't wait to just get home, put my feet up. Whoo, it's been a long Kindle the Flame, but it's been good. It's been good. And then all of a sudden, as I'm standing there, just kind of smiling because I can't hear nothing she's saying, all of a sudden I realize I hear people saying my name. Leanne, she's talking to you. I turn and I look at her far up at the end of the platform. And she's going something and she's going, oh, hi, and she's talking to me. And I'm like, what in the world is she saying? I go, what is she saying? And she's just talking and bending over because she looks like she was like half drunk in a spirit already. And Patrick yelled at me, she wants you to sing something. Huh? And I'm thinking, dear God, again, here I have been a heathen, thinking about sleeping, taking my shoes off and getting home. And immediately I had to go, I know him because I know him, I got it. And I just stepped out and was like, Holy Ghost, hallelujah. And the next thing out of my mouth came, I feel a Holy Ghost shout coming on. And the music at that point goes, ding, 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 you know. And stuff. The whole place came unglued. And I stood there and was like, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Because Holy Ghost will save you. Miss Lynette danced like crazy all over the place. The whole congregation went for it. And I'm standing there thinking, thank you, Jesus, because I had no idea what she was even talking about. But the Holy Ghost knew. And because I trust him in me, I didn't even wait for them to hit the key on the keyboard. I feel a Holy Ghost shout coming on. How many of you know that song? I feel a Holy Ghost shout coming on. It's time to let go, get into the flow. I feel a Holy Ghost shout coming on. So that's what we sang, you know, and they shouted. And I did too. I was rejoicing. Why am I talking like this, guys? We're talking, you might say, but this is a prayer conference. This is a prayer time that we're talking. Guys, if you do not pray from the position of faith that you know him, your prayers are not going to be as effective as they ought to be. If we're going to usher in the coming of the King, we have to pray from a place, Holy Ghost, I'm so glad I know you. You know, I've taught this for years and years. I've had students and graduates that have come back to me. One girl, she was a missionary in Indonesia. And this particular time, she told me the story. She said at that particular time when she was there, all of a sudden, if you were Americans, they were telling you, you better get your money out of the banks. This has been years ago. And there were people that were robbing the Americans and the different ones because they knew they were going and getting their monies and money and stuff. And this girl, she was teaching grammar in a school there. And she had a bicycle and that was it. So she went on her bike to the bank. She got all of her money and she put all her money on her person under her clothes. She prayed and she said, I was afraid to be perfectly honest. And I got out there on my bike and I noticed two guys following me. She said, I was going down this street. She said, I've never rode my bike so fast, trying to get to my apartment. Because I could tell they were on my heels coming after me. And she said, all of a sudden, I heard you in Indonesia, Leanne. I go, huh? She said, I heard you yell, you know the Holy Ghost. You know him. And she said, when I heard you, I said, that's right. And she said, I just spoke it out loud. Holy Ghost, I know you. What should I do? And the Holy Ghost said, turn left. Holy Ghost said, turn right. Told her how to turn and get away from those people. And she got home safe. Guys, the Holy Spirit is alive in you. He's in us. Aren't you thankful for him? And the Bible says in 1 John 2:20, you have an unction, an anointing from him, and you know all things. In everything that we do, we need to pray from the position in faith that you know him. I meditated on John 14:17 for so long that I was so convinced of it that I went even and told Brother Hagin about it. And he looked at me and I even said to him, I go, Brother Hagin, if you told me I didn't know him, I'd have to tell you, oh, yes, I do. And he laughed at me. And he goes, yep. Because I was so persuaded, and I'm even more persuaded than I was way back then. I know the Spirit of truth. Well, how did I get so full of it, so to speak? Because I've been meditating John 14:17. We have got to take the word literally and apply it to our lives. If all you feast on is what's going on in this natural realm, that's what you will manifest in your life. But if you will meditate on the word, eat the word, speak the word, talk the word, eat it, live it. Not to where you look flaky or sound flaky, but it's your life. This is my life. This is my relationship with God. Oh, Jesus. just want to pause for a second. Remember the story I told you last night? I'm teaching, or I'm with all the prayer leaders. And we're praying because I knew God was wanting us to make some changes to the prayer program, and I wanted to make sure that I was doing what I should be doing. 500 people pray in the prayer program there at Rhema. And I want to make sure that I'm leading them correctly and I'm doing what God wants me to do, because we have too much happening at Rhema not to make sure that we got everything covered correctly in prayer. So we're praying. All the prayer leaders are in front of me, and I'm standing at the podium like I am now. Nobody was behind me. And as we're praying, all of a sudden I felt a breeze go by my left side of my body. I thought somebody, one of the prayers, had come up to pray up in the front with me. I opened my eyes, looked all the way around. Nobody was there. I looked up in the ceiling, thought maybe a vent was open. Nothing. I just continued to pray, closed my eyes again, and all of a sudden I felt a breeze. You know, like when somebody walks by you real fast. I felt it. So I opened my eyes real quick, and I thought, I'm going to catch them in the act. Somebody's playing a trick on me. I opened my eyes, and everybody's heads were bowed, and they were all praying in tongues. Nobody was looking at me or looking around, and nobody had left the room. Nobody, nothing. There wasn't even vents above the podium. I was like, well, I was getting ready as I continued to pray. All of a sudden, the podium was enveloped by a presence, and I knew somebody was standing in front of that podium. And I stood there, and it was like, whew, I don't know who this is. I don't know if it's an angel with a message. I don't know if it's the Lord. Whew, man, I'm in Goosebump City. God. So I thought, well, maybe one of the prayers got it. So I go, everybody, wait a minute. Stop praying. They all looked at me abruptly and was like, why are you stopping us for? And I told them what happened. A breeze on my left, a breeze on my right. And I thought it was one of you guys, but it's not. Somebody's here. I said, does anybody hear or know anything? They all looked at me like, I said, well, let's just start praying to the Holy Ghost again, and maybe he'll speak to one of us, whoever it is. So immediately we begin to pray, and immediately I heard him speak. I heard him speak because I knew his voice. Oh, I knew his voice. I've known it forever. And all of a sudden, as he's speaking to me, he said to me, he goes, Leanne, my stamp of approval is upon the prayer program here at Rhema. And he paused. And I thought, why is he pausing? And then he wants me to interpret that. I go, everybody, wait a minute. It's the Lord, it's Jesus. And he's talking to me. And he just said this, that his stamp of approval is upon the prayer program here at Rhema. And then he started talking again. Now I couldn't see him, but I could hear him. And I could feel him, sense him. And then he began to tell me more things, and then he'd pause and I would say it. And then he did it a couple of times, and he'd pause. I would speak what he said. And then the last time he did it, and I shared what he said, all the prayers started praying. I didn't tell them to pray. They just started praying. Spirit of prayer fell on them. And they started praying in the spirit and going for it. And I was like, why are they doing that? I didn't tell them to pray. And, you know, usually they'll follow the leader. I didn't tell them to lead. I meant to go after it in prayer. But I mean, the spirit of prayer fell, just like how it used to in some of Brother Hagin's meetings. The spirit of prayer would fall and people would just start praying. And Brother Hagin would say, well, we need to pray, and we need to pray now. I can't tell you how many times I'd see him walk away from the podium, go over to this chair in healing school, get down on his one knee and begin to pray in the spirit, because he knew somebody was in danger or something was happening and he had to pray. Well, now all the prayers are doing that and they're praying. And I got caught up in it because I love to pray. And there was such an anointing upon it. Before you know it, I'm with them and I'm praying in the spirit. Then all of a sudden, I got aggravated at myself. Leanne, what in the world are you doing praying? Jesus was standing at the podium. And I got back over to where I was standing in front of the podium. And it was like, oh man, I mean, the prayers were praying. I couldn't get them to stop if I wanted to. And I was like, oh man, my eyes are open. I'm aggravated. Lord, I can't believe I left the podium and started praying with them. You were here. I could sense you. I could feel you. It was so awesome. And I'm aggravated. Then about that time, now remember, they're all praying. Their heads are bowed. They're praying in the spirit, and they're praying loud. And I look over at the back door because the door swung open, and Jesus walked in. He walked in the back. He came down the center aisle. When he came down the center aisle, he was smiling at me. And I was just, because I'd never had my open-eyed vision of him before. I've had spiritual visions, but an open-eyed one where I see him with my eyes, natural eyes. I've seen him with my spiritual eyes, but my natural eyes are beholding him. And he came and he stood right in front of me, right where he had been before, but I couldn't see him with my natural eye. And he looked at me and he smiled. And I remember he tilted his head. He goes, "Leanne, the same manner I came in this room tonight is the same manner in which I live in you always." And just like that, he's gone. And I stood there. I couldn't see him with my natural eye anymore. But his spirit, I got revelation. He is with me always. The same manner he walked into that room and manifested himself to us and told us that his stamp of approval was upon the prayer program is the same way that the Spirit of the living God lives in us always. Oh, say always. He's in us, guys. God is in us. And we need to tap in to knowing that he is in us. The Bible says, the worship leader, she said, "In him we live and move and have our being." Do you believe that? The same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in me, quickens me, and makes me alive. It's no longer Leanne that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. Whew. You start talking about it like this, what happens? Faith increases in the room. Revelation of what we have in us. Now you take this, and as a prayer, you pray from this position that you know him. You know him. You're going to see results from heaven manifested. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, there is never a reason to pray from a place that is dull and boring. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, when you pray in an unknown tongue, you're speaking unto God and not unto man. So when you're speaking in an unknown tongue, the Bible says you're talking to God. So why are you acting like you're bored? Why are you acting like you don't know what you're doing? I never let it come out of my mouth, "I don't know what I'm doing." I never do. Mm-mm. When I'm asked to do something, and I learned this working with Brother Hagin and working with Pastor Ken Jr., I've learned, if they turn to you and want you to have something, you better have it. If my leader looks at me and tells me, "Leanne, I need you to do this," even if it's not even within my comprehension, I will go, "Yes, ma'am, yes, sir, I'll do it," just because you asked me. And then I'll use my faith. You know how many times I've had to use my faith on that platform at Rhema or around the world traveling, and now that we travel the world and preach everywhere, how many times I've had to get up by faith when I've been asked to do something. And the Bible says that I don't lack in 1 Corinthians. This is you too. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 5 through 9. You don't lack in any spiritual gift or endowment. The Bible actually says over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 5 through 9, and you can read it in quite a few different translations. In one translation, it says that you have a wealth of inspired utterance on the inside of you, a wealth of spiritual illumination. Who's he talking about? A wealth of spiritual illumination. Think about it. You have a wealth. I don't lack in any spiritual gift or endowment. The Spirit of God lives in me. Yes, it's fivefold ministry gifts, but also just as a believer, I've got the Spirit of God in me and I don't lack in anything. I think sometimes we get so caught up. What gift are we operating in? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Who cares? Just listen and obey. The greater one lives in us. And in our prayer lives, when we pray in the Spirit, we don't need to get our flesh up there. Look at me, I pray, and I can pray in tongues, and my dialects are so many, and I do this, and I do that. Oh, I have this revelation, and I've got that revelation. Who cares about all of that? Get your flesh out of the way so that the Spirit of God can pray through you. When you speak in an unknown tongue, you're speaking unto God. You're not speaking to man. And when you pray in the Spirit, this is a church that knows these truths, that what happens when you pray in the Holy Ghost? You edify yourself. You build yourself up. You improve yourself. Why are we praying in tongues more? I've been going to some churches where they don't even want you to sing in the Spirit anymore. They don't even want you to pray in tongues in their service anymore. And you want to go, what kind of church is this? I've had to go look at my messages. And I'm an inspirational speaker, and as you notice, I don't look at my notes too much. But I had to constantly be thinking in my mind. I went to one church, and they told me, don't even say Holy Ghost. Don't even say Holy Spirit. Me. I on the inside, I thought, why'd you even ask me to come? Do you know who I am? Well, what am I going to talk about? Twiddly-dee, twiddly-dum. What am I going to say? God is good. God is great. Let's go ahead and eat. They're asking a praying Holy Ghost woman that preaches on prayer all the time to not say Holy Ghost or say Holy Spirit or even pray in tongues. Oh my. What am I supposed to do? God still showed up and this one lady got miraculously healed of a terminal disease. Whew. But we got to be careful. We'll go to the extreme. We'll either be way too far over in spiritual things that we become flaky and weird, or we go so far over that we never ever say any or speak of him. We got to be careful. This is what I declare and decree all the time. You need to be in prayer as much as you are in the Word, and you need to be in the Word as much as you are in prayer. You need to be balanced. And then the more time you spend with him, the more you're going to act like him and operate like him. For there's a move of the Spirit that is going to take place in this hour and in this day. It's already taken place. There are things that are happening all over the world today. And God is waiting, though, still on the church to rise up. And he spoke to my heart and he said, I'll rise up new ones if I have to. And you know, when he was talking to me about it, I knew he was talking about how people, and I have to watch myself to not be religious. Because religious thinking, if you're not careful, we'll end up being like the Sadducees and the Pharisees. We've got to see things the way God sees it, not the tradition of man. What's the Spirit of God speaking? What is he saying? Well, when you spend time with him, you fellowship with him, you hear him. You know, I don't care if people know who I am. And I seriously mean that. I don't care. I don't care if my name is ever up in lights. I don't care if people come from all over the world and hear me. That's not what I'm about. Because my eyes and my vision is on the kingdom. It's eternal. I live out of heaven on the earth. I think eternally. I think eternal. I think about what God is doing in the earth and what he wants done, and I'm not going to be freaking out if my church isn't gigantic. I'm not going to freak out if it's tiny. I'm not going to freak out if people don't know what I'm doing. All that matters to me is that I'm staying vertical. And I'm praying his plan, and I'm going after it in faith, and I'm praying from the position I know you. And as I pray in faith, and I pray in the Spirit, speaking in an unknown tongue, revelation will come to me. Light will come. There's so much more we could teach, but I know you guys are tired and we need to go. I know we're supposed to go till 1, but Pastor, that's a long time. Let's stand up. I was getting ready to say, let's shake our booty a little bit. Oh, ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. shine so bright upon each face. May the revelation of your word be stirred. And may your will come to pass in this earth, in this world. Woo, he's here. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, regedele vrosko la manzo bresi gili dizi la baste sedile vronate. Oh, ramandela briski la bugosta. Vresi gili brusko dala mea grisi krali dei. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, let's just pray in the spirit a little bit. Ora bagele bibrifisha. Ora si hiona. Ora bidjidor. Ora betisul dole via rifili a frostor. Abali abriski la butostile a free supply. Oh, ha ha. Zile barresi galamoshosa la vida divine. Oh, your divine plan, your divine purpose, your divine plan. Give me a chair. Your divine purpose. Oh, rabba si kiri babre beshkele mandrosta. Bol de la bribisi de la bra papasisa de babrasta. Bol de la brabashi gili bregesi krini grini grona stay. Oh, bring it over here. Shuzi kiri da brana. Thank you. Vorra basi dalla mambrana ababiest. Ora babasi tala mambresta. Dears the doors le brisi bravas wide. And there's a machi calibrisi. There's a machi calabrosta. There's a machi tala sosta. There's a brace of brisa soria venicide. There's a way of the seas and a vine to divorce supports. Signs and embrace dame and the bros de la vache de store. It's a broad de la lapire and it's a bresco door every sabide. It's a day of the Lord de la prasta and it's shadosa credis de la vine. Ah. Yeah. Obzo dabre bidile bra baba. Skewers of light around this place be. The glory and the atmosphere charged with your adorning glory and ability. Hi, Zai Masaya Store. Yeah. Oh, rabababa de balibiri didi la basona. Oh, rabagigiri bibra bababa brebe balididi la babra babachona. Oh, rebegiri bisruna. Yes, Lord. Ezididi bisra babrana brebe side bramatanda bremente. Oh, moving in the spirit, operating in the spirit. Seeing and operating from who we are in you. Operating by faith. Oh, glory to God. Boso basho belise deru. Yes. Yeah. The Spirit of God just said to me, there are many in this room that have heard the word of the Lord. And their hearts say, I want to operate further in these truths. And the Spirit of God said, if they'll lift their hands right up right now, that an impartation is going to take place in you. So lift your hands up if you receive and just say, I take it. I take what you have for me. And I'm going to go further. In Jesus' name. Begin to pray. Oh, bro, salavrasi gelevristi. Voshapelia, bro. Woo, shelia mai. Zelebrigisa. Open eyes, rasses, itili, bravine. In this peri plasodona, in the basho daily, in the brasodona, in the gresta delia, and the bestestonia. And he breathes in that life. Orova vrava frufied, she clears. Jelebusso Christi palo praise. Oh, hallelujah! 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 See, guys, what happens is you can't talk about him and him not manifest. Can I take 5 more minutes? Have a seat for just a minute. I'm going to sit with you. Is that okay? You guys got the kind of church that you can, I can sit and you can see me. Hey, I like that. If we ever pioneer a church, I kind of like to do that. Build the church where it's... Oh, Jesus. Ah. He already told me what I was supposed to do in the morning. While I was sitting here, I thought I knew, but he put some other tweaking, did some things to it. It's a day of the church to operate in me and see clear and know what to do. It's the time in the church to stand and see and operate from a place of vision, a full provision of what I have for thee. No longer trying to figure it out in your soul, because it will not come that way. It will come up out of your spirit, out of your belly, out of your innermost being. My plan will come forth as you pray. And as you pray, revelation will come and you will see and you'll have direction even in your own life about your own job, your own company. He's talking to us, isn't he? Oh my, don't worry about your children. Don't worry about what they say. Obey my voice and they'll come along the way. They might not understand it at first, and they might even been grumbling lately. But the Spirit of God says, you come after me, and you will not be shaken. Continue on, and I'll reveal, and I'll show my plan. So be in me, and you'll find perfect peace in the stillness of the night. Oh, as you hear my voice so keenly. Oh, listen, listen. Direction. Whew, Lord, there is so much direction and light hanging over this church. My, my, my. Divaso beri pruna. Skidaku mini be previsto la turo fu tele abridi it's tonanni that it is to do it. Yeah. Esai badu dor se de debrisi talafai. Father, is it dies resodona? Is it God resubalo previsto levine? I've been standing in this church as a body for as long as it has been. And I'm waiting for those that will listen and enter further in. For there is more that I have, and some things are just beginning to be. So don't fret or worry, because my plan is coming to pass, and it shall be. But I'm working in the crew that is here right now. And assignments of the Spirit to pray, impart in the name of Jesus, they go. Assignments of the Spirit to pray out the plan, to not care if ever seen by man, but to speak out the plan so that your will can be had and done in this earth. Oh, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yep. He's telling me to tell you a story. I used to think I told too many stories and would tell too many prayer things and stuff. And the Spirit of God said, Leanne, who's your spiritual father? Well, Brother Hagin, what did he do all the time? He told stories. I thought, oh, okay, then I don't feel so funny. I can do it. Because the Spirit of God will stop me just like he did. He just stopped me right now and he said, tell him a story. And he told me which one to tell you. Years ago, back on campus there at Rhema, I was praying with my friend, Deborah Banks. Some of you ever went to any of the crusades, and Deborah Banks has been here in the church and played the organ and stuff, right? Deborah Banks and I was praying in a room one night over at the ministry, and she was sitting playing the piano. And she and I would pray like that. She'd play the piano and I'd pray, and we'd just go places in God. And God had placed this one ministry couple on our hearts to pray for. And we were praying for them. And as we were praying, all of a sudden, I saw in the Spirit this huge, gigantic door. This door was so large in the Spirit, it was way bigger than this entire building. It was wood, a beautiful door. It had a lot of engravings in it. It was just a beautiful door. And that's what I saw in heaven. It was just like, why am I seeing this? And I saw it way up high in the sky. But we were praying for this couple in ministry. And they travel the world and minister and stuff. But I kept seeing this huge door. And I stopped praying for a minute. And I go, Deborah, do you see what I'm seeing? She goes, I don't know. What are you seeing? She goes, no, I don't see it, but it bears witness with my heart. I go, what is it? I said, let's try to get that door open. So as we started praying, we began to command the door to open in Jesus' name. But that door wouldn't budge. It wouldn't open. And I've always prayed, and when there, you know, you pray for doors of utterance to open and everything, but now I'm seeing a big old door, but it won't move. And here we are praying, telling it to open. And I saw some angels standing around the door. What's going on? So it kind of messed me up a little bit. And so I decided the next morning I was going to go talk to Kathy Creek, who used to be over the prayer program at Rhema. She worked under Patsy. And I went over and I said to Kathy, I said, Kathy, this is what I'm seeing in prayer. Can you tell me what in the world's on the other side of that door? Have you ever seen anything like that in the Spirit? She said, well, Leanne, I don't know. She said, or when are you guys praying again? I said, well, we're praying again tomorrow night. She goes, well, I'm going to come pray with you. Is that all right? Sure, come. So now three of us are praying late at night at one of the rooms in the prayer over at one of the rooms up there on campus. And Deborah sits down at the piano. She begins to play and we begin to pray for that couple again in ministry. And there was that door. I go, Kathy, there's the door. I'm seeing the door again. And she shouted out. She said, there's a nation on the other side of that door. And when she said that, a spirit of knowing, I knew what nation it was, and I shouted it out. I said, it's Asia. She goes, that's right. I said, let's get the door open. And there's a bunch of angels hanging around the door. Door open in Jesus' name. And the door wouldn't move. What's going on? We finished up our prayer time because we'd been there for a while. And I looked at Kevin and I said, well, thank God we now know what's on the other side. I said, but I don't understand why we can't get the door open. She looked at me and she said, there's somebody else that needs to come and pray with us. And she's in town next week. I said, all right. So now this lady came. It was the four of us now praying. And guys, I decided I'm not going to tell this lady nothing about the door. I'm not going to say nothing. Because what if I'm flaky and getting weird? And so I thought, I'm not saying nothing. I just prayed in tongues. Deborah started playing the piano. Presence of God was so strong in the place. We began to pray for that couple in ministry. And then all of a sudden, that lady, I was sitting on the organ bench and she was standing in front of me, you know, across the organ in front of me. And all of a sudden she said, that's a big door. I go, you see a door? She said, it's large. It's a big door. It's a wood door, a wooden door. I go, yes, and there's angels all around. And I said, Asia's on the other side of that door. She said, well, let's get the door open. And as we all four begin to pray, we said, open in Jesus' name. All four of us, as we begin to speak it and begin to pray it, that door opened wide. It was just like, and then we started shouting, angels go! And when we said that, guys, there were legions of angels that went into that country. We saw them. And I saw that they were carrying things, but I didn't say it. But the other lady said, they're carrying equipment in. I thought, oh, she's confirming what I'm seeing. And I said, yes, equipment for the kingdom. You would have said, what kind of equipment? I don't know. It was spiritual. And then all of a sudden, as we finished out, all the angels went in and the prayer burden lifted and we knew we got the victory. We started shouting and dancing and rejoicing because we knew we got the answer. We prayed through for that ministry, that couple to go into Asia, and that there were angels that had went in ahead of time with equipment to help them. Well, now a week or two passed and I told one of my buddies who's a traveling itinerant, he's a prophet, and I told him about that prayer time. He goes, man, Leanne, because he knows that couple a little more than I do. He said, that is awesome. Well, he called me, and it was just a few weeks later after I had told him. He called me on the phone. He said, Leanne, what are you doing? I said, I'm in my car. I'm on my way home. He said, pull off the road. I go, huh? I go, you're crazy. It's all right. What you want to tell me? No, pull off the road. All right. And I remember pulling my little car off the road, and I sat on the side of the road. I go, I'm on the side of the road, Greg. What's going on? He said, Leanne, I went to a meeting last night. And that couple that you were praying for in ministry was sitting on the front row. And the man that was up speaking, it was a Ray McGrad, prophet of the Lord. You would know him if I said his name, a mighty man of God. He said he was up preaching. And then all of a sudden he stopped. He walked down off the platform, stood in front of that couple. And he said, a great door has been made open unto you in the Orient. It's a big door, a huge door has been made open to you. And there is a team that has already went on the other side to help you. Now, I know you take a natural team with you that is on this row with you tonight, but I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about a host of legions of angels that have went in and they've already been equipped and they've got things and they're waiting for you to come. And he laid hands on him, ministered to him. And Greg, my phone, I'm on the phone and he's telling me this. Leanne, are you okay? I'm crying like a baby. I'm like, I'm not fruit looping. I'm not crazy. I am praying right. I am seeing right. He goes, yes, you are. He goes, Leanne, it was word for word how you saw it, how you prayed it. I was like, God, guys, we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. He lives in us. He dwells in us. He wants to pray through us. There are things that are resting upon many of you in this room to pray, to assignments of the Holy Ghost, to speak for things. When you know that you know the Spirit of God and that you're not going into the Spirit alone, but His Spirit is in you, you'll pray effectively. You'll go after His plans and His purposes. We've just touched the surface, not even hardly touched the surface of who we have in us and how we're supposed to go after things in Him. God is alive. He's real. And He's in us. We're here on kingdom business. We're here. What I love is when you sow into the kingdom, you reap from the kingdom. You sow into kingdom business, you reap kingdom business. Oh, and when you take care of God's business, kingdom business, He takes care of your business. How many of you can say amen to that? You guys are too much fun to preach to. I'm hushing because I don't preach this long usually, bless the Lord. But you guys have given me so much time, but I'm going to stop because I know some of your bellies are grumbling. But guys, what an honor. Thank you, Pastor Sarah. Thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor Ed. Oh, thank you, Pastor Greg. I'm so thankful for His plan and His purpose. Amen? Amen. The assignments of God that are upon you to run the race. Amen. Pastor Ed.